It is a pleasure to be with you today on Know Your Bible, and we do appreciate your tuning in to watch. Today on Know Your Bible, we're going to be talking about our family and how to build a strong family. You say, well, I already have a strong family, but how can you make it better? We want to talk about that today, and I have some things that I want to share with you today that I believe will be a benefit. I know they will be a benefit to you. Continue to watch for the next few minutes. Now, on Know Your Bible, we are offering a free Bible correspondence course. We have been doing this now for a long time, and we have literally hundreds of people that are studying the Bible through this means. And we simply are trying to help you to become better acquainted with your Bible. And we'd like to make it available to you today. You say, well, Brother Lambert, what will it cost? And we frequently have people to call and ask, is this going, what's the cost of this? And may I emphasize that it's free. It's free. And you may wonder, why would you do that? Why would you send something free? Because we want you to become better acquainted with the Bible, and in order that you might know what God would expect of you today to be pleasing to Him. Now, that you might learn more about this Bible correspondence course, that you might learn how to receive it, we'd like to pause for just a moment. I want to read to you now from the 127th Psalm, Psalms 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. His arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Suppose there was an announcement on the television that there was an attack upon the United States on the West Coast, that it was a nuclear attack, and that the effect of that attack would be moving our way within just a matter of hours. Let me ask you a question. What would you think? And what would you want to do? And just suppose that announcement, you were told that you need to go and find a safe place, and don't come out of that safe place, don't come out of that house, don't come out of wherever you are until another announcement has been made. But would you say, well, you know, I was planning to cut the grass today. Or I was going to take off today, and I was just going to go fishing today. Or I was going to play a round of golf today. I have an idea that if we heard some kind of an announcement like that, the very first thing that would come to our minds is, I want my family with me. Because that would be a rather serious. And you'd say, I want my spouse, I want my children with me, I want to be with all of my family. You know, sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up with the so-called urgent things of life, and we'll forget the really important things. A man was about to escort his daughter down the aisle on her wedding day. He was a multimillionaire. And as they were standing at the end of the aisle right before she was to walk down it, he stooped down and whispered in her ear, we haven't spent much time together, have we? He only said one word, nope. Yes, it's so easy to get caught up with the things that we think are urgent, important, that we overlook the real valuable things of life. You know, whatever a thing can be is what it ought to be. If you go buy a new car, well, whatever that new car can be is what that new car ought to be. I remember many years ago buying a new car, and And after I'd had it a few days, I found a flaw in it. And I took it back to the dealer. And he said, "Do you realize, Billy, that if this car was 99 and 44/100% perfect, that it would have 200 things wrong with it?" Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to buy a car that's 99 and 44/100% perfect if it's supposed to be a new car. Whatever it can be is what it ought to be. Just suppose you buy a new suit of clothes, you get home with that suit, and you see there's a flaw in it. Maybe there's a run in the material, or maybe there's a hole in it somewhere. Well, you'd take it back. Why? Well, you say, "I don't want it." Why not? Well, because I bought it brand new, and it ought not to be like that. In other words, whatever a suit can be is what it ought to be. And whatever a husband can be is what he ought to be. And whatever a wife can be is what she ought to be. And we need to spend more time trying to prevent problems that come up in our homes. I read about a little village in South America that was built right on the edge of a cliff. And because of that, the people forever falling down the cliff and being injured. So the town council met to determine what they ought to do about the people getting hurt that were falling down the cliff. So they decided to build a hospital down at the foot of the cliff. I think it'd been better if they had put a barrier there, or better yet, moved the village. We need to spend more time trying to prevent the problems that come up in our marriages. You know, when I was a little boy, I learned some nursery rhymes, and one of them was about Humpty Dumpty. And it goes like this: Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all of the king's horses and all of the king's men put Humpty together again. Can you imagine the frustration of trying to put a cracked egg back together? Well, it's just about that difficult to put a marriage back together once it has been fractured. Now, it's not impossible, but it's sometimes a very, very difficult thing to do. So I repeat, we need to try to prevent problems. Some time ago, Dr. Nick Stanay, who presently is a professor at the University of Alabama, did a survey. At that time, he was a professor at the University of Nebraska. And this survey was to determine the characteristics of strong families. And from the survey that Dr. Stanay made, there were six things that emerged that make up strong families. And these are biblical principles. And I want you to think about them. Number one, he learned that strong families express appreciation. They express appreciation for one another. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to gravitate toward people that make me feel good. I don't have a tendency to gravitate toward people that tear me down, that are critical of me. I don't believe that we are designed to take a steady diet of negativism. The greatest human need is perhaps the need to be appreciated. And we need, therefore, to be as positive as we can in our relationships with one another, especially as we're talking now about in the home. I don't know what percentage of our actions in the home ought to be of a positive nature, but it ought to be overwhelmingly positive, because I realize that, especially as it pertains to the rearing of children, sometimes there's a little negativism that has to creep in out of necessity. But I would think that 80 to 90% of what we do in the home ought to be of a positive nature. Do you realize that one negative comment can offset many positive comments? Now, let me illustrate. A man went to make a speech. I don't know whether he was a preacher or not, but when he got home, his wife said, "How did the speech go?" He said, "It was a miserable failure." She says, "Well, explain to me why you say that it was a failure." Well, he said, there was a man came up to me and said that was the worst speech that he had ever heard in all of his life. It was a failure. She says, well, did anyone else say anything? Oh, he said, yes, there were about 15 or 20 people told me that was the best speech they'd ever heard. Now, what happened to this poor fellow? He allowed one negative comment to override all of the positive things that had been said to him. Have you ever stopped to think about how negative our world is? We live in a negative world. We have stop signs, not go signs. We have stop lights, not go lights. And when we hear the news report, they'll say, well, we want you to know today there's a 30% chance of rain. Well, why don't they tell us there's a 70% chance of sunshine? It's because our world largely is geared up to be negative. If there's one place in all of the world where we need to have a positive spirit and a positive atmosphere, it ought to be in our homes. Well, someone says, well, what does the Bible say about that? Well, in Hebrews the 10th chapter and verse 24, the Bible says, let us provoke one another unto love and good works. One version says, let us encourage one another unto love and good works. The one place that I ought to receive encouragement surely ought to be in my home. I remember talking to a young man who had just recently divorced from his wife, and his former wife had asked me to talk to him to see if there was any reconciliation that could be brought about. There was none. And I finally said to him, tell me, what kind of relationship did you have with your parents? And he stopped and reflected for a moment and then said, I never could do anything right in their eyes. He said if there was something that happened, it was always my fault. I was always blamed. I'm persuaded that he carried that feeling of negativism and rejection with him into his marriage. And it was a contributing factor in destroying his home. Strong families express appreciation. A second thing learned from this study was that strong families develop good communication patterns. One woman said that every time she tried to talk to her husband, he'd just put his cap on and leave the house. Another lady said that her husband was like a mysterious island. Said you're forever circling around him and never able to find a place to land. In other words, she just couldn't talk to him. I've had women come to me and say, Brother Lambert, I just can't talk to my husband. My husband won't talk to me. You see, we need to develop good communication patterns. One of the greatest barriers to communication is selfishness. As a matter of fact, selfishness may be the barrier to many great blessings in this life. But as long as we're thinking about ourselves, then we're not going to be able to have effective communication with other people. We need to keep the lines of communication open in our homes. And remember this about communication, that it's not just a two-way thing, that it's a three-way thing. You see, for my communication to be open between me and my wife, the communication needs to be open between me and God. And when the communication is open between me and God, then the communication can be open between me and other people, and especially those that I love the most. How is your communication today? But then a third thing that was learned from this study is that strong families spend time together. The Bible implies that it is parents, who have the responsibility for the moral, ethical, and the spiritual training of their children. Listen to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 4 beginning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. The words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach them diligently. With diligence are we to teach our children. But you know, it takes time to do that. You know, Paul in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, said, in verses 3 and 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It takes time to do that. Well, somebody says, but Brother Lambert, I'm so busy, you just don't understand my schedule. And I have a business to run, or I have a boss who is so demanding, or I have so many other activities that I'm involved in the community. I just don't have that much time right now to spend with my children. And someday I'm going to find the time, and I'm going to spend lots of time with them. I want you to know that you'll never do that. You never will find the time. Because you see, you don't find time, you make time. There are a lot of things we can give our children. We can give them a good place to live. We can give them clothes to wear and food to eat, education. We can give them, leave them an inheritance. But the most valuable thing that any father, any mother will ever give to their children is time. Their time. Spend time with your children. And that might mean that you have to prune something off of your busy schedule. It may mean that you have to not go on that golf trip that you had planned to take, that game of golf that you had planned to play. And that you want to spend that time with your son or with your daughter. It might mean that you have to prune some of the activities that you have going on in order to take time with the most precious thing that you have in your family, and that's your own children. We don't have much time with them. That is, we don't have a long time to train them and to teach them. And we need to take advantage of every moment that we have for our children. A fella took off from work one day, and he was going to spend a little time with his son. So he asked his little boy, "What would you like to do today?" He said, "Daddy, I'd like to go fishing." So he took his boy fishing that day, and the next day when the man went back to work, and the guys at work said, "Well, what did you do yesterday?" Well, he said, "I really wasted a day." They said, "Really?" He said, "Well, what did you do?" He said, "Well, I took my little boy fishing. I wasted that day." But you know what that little boy wrote in his diary that night? That is the day that his daddy took him fishing. He said, "Today was the greatest day of my life. My daddy took me fishing." You see, his daddy took some time with him. So strong families express appreciation, develop communication patterns, and they spend time together. A fourth thing learned is that strong families cultivate commitment. If there's anything that's needed in our world today, it's commitment. We need to be committed to our country. There are so many problems with our country, but it's still the best country in all of the world. We need to be committed to our community where we live. We need to be committed to it. Try to make the community where we live a better place. We need to be committed to keeping our word. You go down to the bank and you tell the banker, "I need to borrow some money because I want to buy a new automobile." Well, when you sign your name to that note, you have committed yourself, and you have committed to pay that debt, and you need to be honest in the paying of that debt. The Bible says, "Provide things honest in the sight of all men," in Romans 12. But we need to be committed in our relationship in the home, deeply committed in the home. Now, there are some qualities that will help develop that commitment. And one of those qualities is respect. That is, where we have respect one for another. Of course, some are like Rodney Dangerfield, who said, "I don't get no respect." And maybe the reason you're not respected is because you're not acting in a respectable manner in the home. Respect. Another quality that will help develop commitment is trust. Just plain old trust. You know, in Proverbs 31, Solomon said about this worthy woman, well, it wasn't Solomon, but it is in the book of Proverbs, many of whom are written by Solomon. But there the writer said, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And then he says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Well, a man ought to be able to trust his wife. But on the other hand, a woman should be able to trust her husband. Are you trustworthy? Trust. Trust. Another quality that will help to develop commitment in the home is understanding. Trying to be understanding one of another. There's a statement made in the book of Ezekiel that where the prophet said, I sat where they sat. And we need to sit where others sit in life. That is, put ourselves in their place and try to understand where they're coming from. You know what that does? That helps me to understand them and to be understanding. There's another quality that will help to develop this commitment, and that is acceptance. We have to accept one another for what we really are. There was a young man who was off in battle, fighting in the war. And he wrote his parents, and he told them when he was going to be coming back home. And he said he wanted to bring a friend home with him. And they said, well, that would be fine. They wrote back, said, that'd be fine. He wrote them back, and he says, well, let me explain to you about my friend. And I want to make sure that it's all right for my friend to come home with me, because he was injured in the war. He lost an eye. His face is disfigured. He lost an arm. And he lost one of his legs, and he has to walk on crutches. Is it all right for my friend to come home with me? Well, they said, of course, son, it's fine for your friend to come home. But when the young man came home, he came home alone. But when they saw him, they understood what he meant, because he was the one who had been injured in the war. He is the one whose face was disfigured. He is the one who had lost an eye, who part of his arm had been torn off from his body, and he had lost a leg. He just wanted to see if his family would now accept him the way he was. We need to accept one another the way we are in the home and try to help one another to improve and help one another to be better. But then another quality of strong families is that they learn to deal positively with a crisis. Well, what is a crisis? Well, a crisis is an emotional overload. A crisis is a turning point in your life. And strong families learn what to do when there's a crisis. Well, a lot of people just want to throw up their hands and quit. But what do you do when a crisis comes? Let me give you some biblical principles that I believe will help you to deal with crisis. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, in verse 31, to me is one of those strong, positive passages in the Bible. Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen to Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Think about that for a moment. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. And think about Romans 8 in verse 28. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. You see, by realizing that there is a God who can help us through the difficulties of life, we can learn to deal positively with crisis. Whatever crisis there is that comes up in our life. But number six, strong families have strong spiritual values. Strong spiritual values. Joshua 24 and verse 15. Joshua said, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, they're on the other side of the flood, or the god of Amorites in whose land you dwell." But listen to what he said. "But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." And that ought to be a commitment to every household, that we're going to serve the Lord. And on the Lord's day, we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. It might be that you're not a Christian. Won't you make that commitment to become one today by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ by being baptized into Christ, and then bring those spiritual values into your home? Strong families are possible today. I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you, is my prayer.